Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Butch Paul, Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much.
It's a beautiful day down here. We had rain this morning, but the sun popped out, warmed up in the 70s. And it feels so good.
Every day I wake up, it's a beautiful day.
And if
every
you walk away from the bed, day. It's a bonus, right?
You got it.
There you go.
Doesn't matter how many aches or pains you have. It's a good day. But, I don't know what's... Gold's taking just a little bit of a breather here. We were up 350 today, though, at 1488. Silver was down 3 pennies at 1760. Platinum was up 3 at 894. And palladium was down 4 at 1762. That's 1,762. The USDX today was up 0.11 at 97.45. Crude oil today was up 90 at 54.21. And it was a little bit of a hectic day today. And, you know, it's always fascinating, Butch, when, you know, I follow gold, I follow the markets, I follow the news, and it's always fascinating to see how various buyers, when they come into the market, you know, the change. And it really is fascinating. And, you know, there's certainly the trend is changing. You have more and more money coming into, you know, the gold and silver market. And it really has been more gold than silver lately. So it's kind of interesting just to see these, changes. And I never charted anything about it. I don't think it would really mean anything except for me that follows everything so closely. So... the Dow today was down 39 points at 26,788. The NASDAQ was down 59 points at 8,104. S&P 2,996 down 10. 10-year yield 1.77%. People are getting confident again about what's going on. And, there's just some of the headlines out there, Butch. Everyone is depending on the housing market to continue to prop up the U.S. economy. I mean, if it wasn't for the housing bubble or the housing market, where would the economy be? And there's so many large cracks in the system anymore that they're really, truly grasping for straws and using every little reason to confirm that the economy is strong when it really isn't. And everyone knows this. Everyone knows that, we're expecting a major recession, depression. It's just a matter of time. But that time is one thing that we can't put a number on it. We can't put a date on it. But these cracks are becoming wider, and of course that always moves that date up a little bit closer. So it's really kind of interesting, and but so many people are just so oblivious to something that is going to affect them so dearly.
Well, you talk about these signs that they're even talking about, and this first article got here, I'd like to just share it with you quickly and ask a question about, if you don't mind. Worries grow over the Fed's efforts to fix funding issues. This is all likely to get much worse. Federal Reserve officials have been working feverishly to address issues that popped up more than a month ago in the overnight bank lending market. The central bank last week started a new bond buying program that is expected to grow its balance sheet by $60 billion a month to start. J.P. Morgan Chase analysts, among others, worrying that recent additional hiccups in the overnight lending are symptoms of bigger problems that will grow worse as the year comes to a close. Now, Melly, I'm not an expert on this, but I know that the banks sometimes borrow money overnight and pay it back but the next day or a day after. What is it that triggers in the need to borrow so much all of a sudden? What's going on?
Well, you know, it's not so much that they have to borrow more, is that their money went elsewhere. Supposedly, they used various excuses. They used, taxes, the quarterly taxes that corporations had to pay, and this and that. But that was a month ago. So I can't see why they're using the same excuses. And of course, no one's really talking about it. And I don't think anyone really understands, except that the money is drying up and the feds are in there pumping it up for these repo overnight loans. So, I mean, no one's talking. And when they don't talk about these things, to me, that makes it even more of a dangerous situation. Because they don't want you to know.
They're hiding something. Yes.
Yeah, they want to just shove it off like it's no big deal. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is a big deal. I reported on this 3 days before you even heard a mainstream media talk about it or see an article written about it. And this isn't normal banking. This isn't normal financing. You got the Fed in there increasing their treasuries. It's all quantitative easing, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, they're not going to use that term, but that's what it is.
When they issue are just digits on a computer, pops up in the banks overnight. That's what it boils down to. It's not actual cash. It's just digits, right?
It's just digits.
So they issue digits and then draw interest on the digits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that great? Deal if you can do it, isn't it?
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, it is a good deal.
Yeah.
So does that mean the banks themselves are running out of liquidity and they just need help to keep this up afloat? Or what does that mean?
It means they're not lending.
They're not lending. Wow.
So, and wasn't that the reason we went into 2008? The same things happened in this overnight lending in 2007 leading into 2008. It's the same thing. And how often do we bring in 2008, 2007, these are the same things, the same numbers, the same percentages.
And
so what makes it different?
And why is a bank tightening the purchasing strings, so to speak? Why are they tightening the lending strings up?
I guess maybe because they feel they might not get paid back. I mean, that's just a big question.
It's kind of like it was back in 2008 again. They give out foolish loans. Mm-hmm. Lost your tails and then started tightening down. Yeah, okay, same thing.
I mean, these banks, you have these stress tests. You know, they all lie. They all rearrange their assets so everybody could pass these stress tests. And, you know, the regulations, hey, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, regulations were dropped. You know, and I'm not saying I was for all these regulations, but when it comes to banks, probably was, because we know what banks do, and they've done it time and time and time and time again. So, you know, it's, since the 2016, the banking regulations have been dropped. Things have gotten more, just more messed up.
Well,
and
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The banks are gambling with our money. Their money, right? That's what it boils down to. They're just rolling the dice and hoping something come out back on it. They're not regulated enough to be responsible, so they're just gambling with it.
Banks do what banks do, and these central banks, the banks. I mean, it's always the bankers that are behind all these programs. Wall Street's. I mean, so it's just a different day. It's the same thing. It's just a different day.
And with all the years that they've done this, I mean, this didn't start last year, even 10 years ago. It started 100 years ago. It started getting in this type of scenario. You would think after a while people catch on to it, but they never do they?
They don't seem to, not until they're affected by it. And I don't blame them. I mean, we live our lives. You know, life gets busy. You know, we have to address the issues and problems in our lives. We get sidetracked. Yes, we do like to be entertained and so forth. You know, so I understand it. And that's what they bet. That's what they count on, that we're so busy in our lives, we don't pay much attention to what they're doing. So they get away with it, until people are working longer and harder, and they're the little chipmunk in the wheel that's just spinning and spinning and not getting anywhere. So it's human nature. They bet, they count on it, they bet on it, and as it being human nature, it's something that it doesn't change. So,
well, Kabul down
unfortunately, but we're at a time where the change. I mean, we're at a time where it hasn't been experienced before. Even there was a headline, and I didn't read the article. Jamie Dimon. You know, we're no fans of Jamie Dimon, but he even comes out and says, you know, we're in territory we really don't fully understand. The long-term negative rates have adverse consequences. We don't fully understand. That should scare the...
Well, can they look at other nations, done that, and see what kind of situation they're in and learn from that?
But we're in a place that even they don't know. I mean, we can look at the socialism and so forth and whatnot, and we can see how that is always negative upon a country. But negative rates, long-term negative rates, there isn't a country that I know of where we've been here before. I'm sure we have. I'm sure there's been countries and so forth, but I can't name one off the top of my head, and my apologies there. But the United States, we've never been there before.
All they're doing is throwing something against the wall and hope it sticks.
Yeah, and they've been lucky.
Yeah.
They've been lucky so far.
So far. But it's starting to crumble them, just like it did in 2008, it's starting to crumble them again. And I'll never forget Bob Chapman tell me this back around 2005 or thereabouts on the radio show, and they said it's going to come to a head. And I think he said it in 2007. So he may have missed it a year, but he called it right almost to the day, Melody, and what was going to happen. Bob Chapman was a rare breed of man that had the ability to see into the financial future that way. He could do that, and he did it. And so when he said that, and he said it's going to happen, I remember telling people this is going to come, because he almost always had it right. And some listened, some didn't, and some paid a big price for it.
You know, there's an article out by Bloomberg today that says, I don't know who this guy is, a consultancy. This is a report from consultancy McKinsey and Company. He says more than half of the world's banks are already in a weak position before any downturn that may be coming. Half of the world banks. He says banks must act now or risk becoming a footnote. Half of the world's banks. You better hope that your money isn't in that half of the bank, of the world's banks. So he has urged its annual review of the industry that was released yesterday, urged firms to take steps such as developing technology, farming out operations, and bulking up through mergers ahead of potential economic slowdown. So technology, eliminate jobs. He says they believe that they're in a late economic cycle. Banks need to make bold moves because they're not in great shape. So now a decade since the global financial crisis has seen a wave of innovation in financial services, bringing new competitors from fintech startups to giants, Apple, Google, and so forth. But you really haven't seen banks. So kind of interesting, and but just another sign showing us the banks. They're not ready. Are you?
You know, with all these signs coming about, and you think that the banks will be somehow or another trying to avoid this, but maybe they can't. Maybe they're at the point now where they can't avoid it. They have to do what they have to do to keep it going for one more day. I don't know. But you think there'll be some powers that be trying to avoid this happening again. But again, maybe they just feel it's hopeless, and they're going to try to survive. Interesting. Kind of scary, too, isn't it?
Well, it is. Globally, this report also said that globally, banks' valuations have fallen 15 to 20% since the start of last year. To me, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
And this isn't just some fly-by-night report. I mean, this is what they do.
You know, in an article here that I read today that kind of shocked me. McDonald's tumbles after missing earnings. U.S. comes drags Dow in the red. Now, I wouldn't have thought that McDonald's will be a headliner on affecting the Dow. Did you see that article, by the way?
No.
On one of the busiest days in Q3 earnings season, following some impressive earnings from P&G, Biogen, UTX, and UPS, moments ago the Dow Jones was dragged lower as a heavyweight component, McDonald's. I had no idea. Report earnings that missed on the top and bottom line, while U.S. comp sales disappointed lofty expectations. This is an issue because, as Bloomberg explains, McDonald's gets more than a third of revenue from the U.S., where it's been having a hard time luring more diners, especially during the morning hours. It's getting more crowded. Where Burger King is trying to improve its coffee lineup, Dunkin' is introducing Beyond Meat and with breakfast and sandwiches, and nationwide, and Wendy's is planning to re-enter the morning market with a big push next year. But I just never thought about this. McDonald's is a billion dollars with the company, but when it had lower earnings, it actually messed with the financial markets, and I never would have dawned on me that they had that kind of clout, so to speak. But they do.
But there's only 30 companies in the Dow, so if any one or two of them go bad, yeah, they can have an impact. And it going up, too. You only need one or two for them to go up, and it can make an impact. So when you're only dealing with 30 companies, it can. But, hey, McDonald's was forced to pay $15 an hour. I think that's what they're paying now, aren't they?
I don't think it's here in this state yet. I don't believe. I don't think. I don't know that, though. I don't believe it. I don't think so. So 30 companies in the Dow, what did it used to be?
I don't know what they, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what the original number was. Not 30.
If 30 companies in the Dow, so 30 companies really control the financial market, so to speak, in the sense that
feel-good markets. Well, most people are, the personal or the private investor. I mean, he's not in the, he has the Dow, but it's your NASDAQ and your S&P. Has but 30, and that's why I think they use the Dow so much as the leading indicator, as far as, it's always the Dow, because it's only the 30 shares, it's easier for it to keep up, so it's easier to keep up that, positive view of the markets. But, I think most people think the NASDAQ has the realm of volume trade.
Break time. The music is playing. Gotta go to break.
Yes, we do. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Sign up for the weekly newsletter and the blog that comes out on Fridays. We were a little late in getting the newsletter out this week, but I'm sure you all have it in your box, your email box, as we speak. It went out earlier this morning, so if you missed it yesterday, make sure you visit and look your emails today. What's next, Butch?
Well, article here that doesn't really surprise me, but I guess it's kind of sad. Nearly half of U.S. consumers report their income don't cover their expenses. And I can see that, actually. Low-income consumers are struggling to make ends meet despite the greatest economy ever. If a recession strikes or the employment cycle continues to decelerate, this could mean the average American with insurmountable debts will likely fall behind on the debt servicing payments, according to a UBS report first reported by Bloomberg. UBS analyst Matthew Meech wrote in a recent report that 44% of American consumers don't make enough money to cover the expenses. The new survey asked 2,100 respondents in the U.S. about their current financial situation. At least 40% of the respondents said they experienced a credit problem. If that was a rejection of a credit card or missing payment or perhaps defaulting on a balance that was due, this was a 3 percentage point increase from last year, the survey found. Meech has written before that lower-income consumers have seen very little net worth improvement in the last decade. They've increased their debt burden significantly through credit cards, auto loans, and student debt. Now, the Melody, I understand that sometimes you can get in a financial bind. I really can. And maybe, thank God, I didn't have credit cards when I was first married because I stayed in a financial bind for a long time, but I always found a way to pay the bills and get food on the table. But credit cards is an easy temptation to use to pay off one bill, to get your power bill paid. You'll pay it with that, and that's done for the month, but then the credit cards do. Another month later, the power bill comes due again. And if you repeat that cycle long enough, you get into a hole you can't dig yourself out of. I think that happens to a lot of people. Credit cards are a tempting piece of plastic in your hand to bail out a situation temporarily, but it only increases the debt overall eventually. And auto loans, I see not much point in somebody going out and buying a car they can't afford. You may not be able to get what you like, but you don't need to go in debt forever, 6-7 years for a car that you can't even afford to make your house payment perhaps and pay utilities. But you go out and you buy a new car because you like the look and smell of that thing for 6 or 7 years down the road and bind yourself to it. Student loans sometimes can be helped if you go to college. I understand that. The Melody, I don't mean to throw rocks at anybody because I know some people really can't make it no matter how hard they try, no matter how frugal they are. They just can't make it. But many people get themselves in a mess, don't they?
They do. And again, that's what everybody, no one addresses the real problem. And we're going to continue to have these problems. And there's just some people that are, you know, they're bad managers of money. And that's what everybody depends on. You know, they can raise those rates and, you know, take hits there and there. And, you know, but it is tough. You know, wages are not going up. There was an article out to there. I believe it was, I don't know if it was NBC or CBS or one of them. But it was about the manufacturing recession. And it talks about that we're already underway the article was referencing more along the election because of the swing states that might be challenging President Trump's campaign. has promised to deliver the blue-collar jobs to his base. Out of 21 states with manufacturing job losses so far this year, some of those with the biggest percentage declines are states where President Trump won by less than 5% gains. In Pennsylvania, the manufacturing sector lost 8,100 jobs. In North Carolina, it was 7,700 jobs. Wisconsin lost 6,500 jobs. Now, there was, and the article goes on and talks about a 77-year-old family-owned factory in the farmland. It was, they produced, it was the Cadillac of custom cabinets. It was wood mode. And some of their kitchens would sell for over $100,000. And they had, you know, 900 manufacturing jobs that they lost. And again, these are signs, ladies and gentlemen. You know, they, and yeah, I'll guarantee you, a lot of their problem was debt. You know, instead of, and this is what happens with some of these, this is what I believe happens, not all, but they've been convinced to use other people's money to finance their businesses. They use other people's money for payroll. They take all the profits. It goes into their pockets. You know, then you get a bad year. You get, you know, somebody, you know, something happens, and the next thing you know, you just kind of can't, you know, you can't sustain payments for the debt that you got yourself into. So you just keep going. It's no different than the people that you were just talking about, Butch, where, you know, they use a credit card one time to pay the utility bill, and then the next thing, and it just snowballs and snowballs. It happens the same thing with these, you know, manufacturing plants. You know, they had a buyer, but the buyer backed out at the last minute. People were given 10 minutes to pack up their things and leave. People who worked there for 25, 30, 40 years. And the next thing you know, they're out of a job. They had 10 minutes to get their stuff. So, you know, and because when once you're in debt, you have no options. You know, you get to the point where you can't, you, that debt controls you.
Very true.
And you keep trying to dig yourself out, but you're not going to. You're going to throw bad money after right down the rat hole. You can say good money down the rat hole, bad money, you keep throwing bad. Our government's the same. They keep using debt to try to keep everything going. And they're better at it than anybody because, you know, they do control the money. So they can take it a little bit longer than everybody else. But eventually, you know, the debt swallows you up. Something happens. That black swan comes out of the, you know, the corner, and all of a sudden now you have a problem. So,
well, you know, debt makes you a slave. Seriously, debt makes you a slave. you have no real peace of mind if you're in debt to the point you can't cover it. Now, we all sometimes perhaps can afford to go in debt to buy something and pay it off payments, which I don't recommend you do, folks. If at all possible, save and pay cash for anything you buy. If at all possible, do that. But sometimes debt's forced upon us, maybe a medical bill or some unforeseen circumstance that come up. But the issue, the whole point is, debt makes you a servant. That's what the Bible says. That's what common sense says. When you're in debt, your time is not your own. Your life is not your own. You're paying someone that you owe. So you're never really a free individual. And that's the sad part about being in debt. Life is miserable because you're sweating the next paycheck to pay what you can. Your family's doing without because you're in debt. That's not a good thing.
What I also wanted to ask you about this article, and I'm going back to the state of manufacturing jobs in the U.S. Since January of 2019, New York, Pennsylvania, North Carolina have lost the most manufacturing jobs, while Texas, Arizona, and California have gained the most. Now, I got to thinking, is it a coincidence that the manufacturing jobs are increasing along the border? California, Arizona, Texas, at the same time that for how many years? Lately, the past 2-3 years, there's this big battle at the borders, but yet the most manufacturing is going along and into those states that are lining Mexico. So, Has all of this immigration talk, has that all been just distractions?
You know, that,
I mean,
that's
is
a
it a coincidence? I don't believe it's a coincidence that your manufacturing is growing in California, Arizona, and Texas. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Cheap labor.
Cheap labor, really. Exactly.
That's
coming across the border. Coming,
yes.
And what have they done to all those folks that they've supposedly caught and released?
Cheap labor, and that's exactly why we shipped everything south of the border in manufacturing over the years, as Ross Perot said would happen. Cheap labor.
This isn't in Mexico.
No, I know,
I mean,
that,
these
but
jobs
that,
are in the United States.
In the United States, but it's still cheap labor. What I'm saying is, we ship to Mexico to manufacture cheaper. Now they're here, so we know they're worth cheaper than somebody else will. So they charge them over the others, and I can see the point for profit, but it does hurt. It's hurting the northern states for sure. Pennsylvania, New up through there, are really hurting for. And that's, and if they can't make it, if they got to pay a man $25 an hour, they can pay a guy down on the border $10 an hour. I mean, where do you think they're going to go?
So again, I'm back to the point, was all this talk that we've heard, build the wall, and all this other immigration talk was just to keep us all distracted while they
obviously
could go manufacturing in these states and bring in this cheaper labor from across the border while we're not
happened.
Looking.
Yeah, it hasn't happened. So I think you're right. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors there. I do believe there's a lot to melody. They keep us distracted right now with the impeachment process. On. There's stuff going behind the scenes that they don't want us to see. And I think a big bunch of it is going to be the economic failure. I really do.
Well,
but
you
they
know
don't
what?
See it.
It is. You're right. You're absolutely right. But you know what? Something even Pat Buchanan had a great article out today. And when you talk about distractions and so forth, he had things in there. It's like, you know what? I didn't know this was happening. And his headline is democracy a dying species?
Yes.
How does the democracy that has spawned within itself a powerful and implacable enemy deal with it? What happens when democracy fails? What happens when people give up on democracy? And I don't want to hear, well, a republic, not a democracy. I get that, but this is Pat Buchanan's article. But what he talks about, you know, Chile. Where have you heard anybody talk about Chile lately in the news? It's the most stable and prosperous country in Latin America. They raised their subway fares by 5%. What did it cost? You had thousands poured into the streets, rioting, looting, arson. The metro system was utterly trashed. Police were assaulted. People died. It spread to 6 other cities. Troops were called out. And he goes on about Chile. Then he talks about last week, tens of thousands of Lebanese of all faiths and political associations rioted in Beirut and Tripoli to demand they overthrow the regime. Did you hear that reported anywhere, ladies and gentlemen? Barcelona, Friday. 500,000 people surged into the streets in protest after the sentencing in Madrid of the secessionists who sought to bring about the independence of Catalonia from Spain in 2017. Did you hear about that in the news? Well, we did hear about China and the few who enjoy the freedoms of the 7 million in Hong Kong. We do know about that. But Butch, it's such... It's the world is imploding, it seems.
Yes, it is. It is. Look, Mark, right now that I didn't know until I found it just today, and it may have been talked about in some of the programs, but I didn't hear it. Drug cartel in Mexico actually beat the Mexican army, and they had to turn their prisoners loose. They had captured two of... El Chapo. They captured two of his sons and they jailed him. Well, the drug cartel rescued one of them, and the other was still in captivity in the city of Culiacan. And it was under siege by the drug cartel with armored vehicles, 50 cal machine gun. That's the drug cartel now, mind you. They had the city surrounded. They were killing people, destroying property. And finally, the president of Mexico said, hey, turn the guy loose. That's what the answer was for the criminals, the drug cartel, Mexico, outgunned the Mexican army. Is that kind of a sign of a collapse of a nation? When the drug cartels can take down the army of the country over capturing Guzman's sons? You're right, Melody. I didn't see that on the news either. Did you?
No.
I mean, I didn't see it at all. But the drug cartel actually whipped the Mexican army. Now, that is something. And they captured a city. They didn't capture a building with a compound. They captured a whole city, surrounded it, and forced the governor, the president of Mexico, to turn the man loose. Now, that is a huge blow, I would think, to any nation, that a drug cartel can outgun the army of the nation.
But we are also talking about Mexico, where the government is just as corrupt and probably, you know, for whatever reasons and so forth. But when you, the stories, and you're right, it's a sign of the times, and it's a battle. And, you know, Pat Buchanan, he wrote about, despite the looting, arson, attacks on cops in Hong Kong, Xi Jinping, he's not going to order his troops to yield to popular demands for independence. Madrid's not going to accept the loss of Barcelona and succession of Catalonia, nor is the conservative Chilean government going to yield to the street rebels and revolutionaries, or is Paris going to back down to the yellow vests? So we are entering into a, you know,
chaotic state worldwide.
And do you really believe that these financial markets are going to be able to continue, would be able to withhold and continue as if nothing is going on when you have this going on in the background?
Absolutely. And I'm not a prophet, don't claim to be, but I'm going to make a prediction that no matter who wins the election next year, all hell's going to break loose.
Absolutely. And I'm not encouraging it. I'm not encouraging it.
No,
I don't want it to happen.
It's there.
But they have driven, but it, to me, as far as I'm concerned, it is part of the agenda.
Absolutely, it is. It is.
And we are witnessing theatrics at its best. And
we're being set up one step at a time to see this come about. We're being set up. The dramatization of all this is coming about. They're increasing every day, more and more division and more strife and turmoil and anger and hatred. And after the election in November next year, no matter who wins, it's going to be nasty.
Yeah,
well, I hear break coming again, folks.
I do too. I did hear
back
that
after
time.
Break,
we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We're seeing a change in the metals market, in the pricing for gold and silver. And I'm talking particularly about bullion gold, like the American Gold Eagles, the 1 ounce. And I've seen the premiums beginning to move up. I mean, it wasn't that long ago I was offering specials at $20 over spot for American Gold Eagles. Then the prices started to come up higher, a little bit higher, a little bit higher. And overnight, last night, working late, writing a deal, and premiums jumped. So that means we have more buyers than sellers. People are not selling their product. So that secondary market is drying up, and that's going to push premiums higher. So don't let premiums scare you. Don't let the price of gold and silver scare you as we see the prices rise. If we have pullbacks, don't fall into the belief that, you know, that some of these people are predicting $700 gold. You know, the people that are predicting $700 gold are also predicting a collapse of the financial system. And even if gold went to $700, I'd still rather hold gold at $700 than paper when the financial system collapses. So it's all relative. Amen. Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up when it comes to gold and silver. It's strictly about price. I believe silver is going to go higher. It's going to go much higher. And that's pretty much a given. But when you hear these other powerful, very powerful speakers talk to you about gold dropping, I can't. They're nuts. How's that? How's that for my for a description? But don't pay any attention to them. Listen to them, because they do have some good things to say. But when they come to the gold and silver, look at what the agenda, look what they're trying to sell you, and then you'll understand why they're saying what they're saying. But give us a call if you hear that stuff, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, this is kind of scary and exciting at the same time. I don't know how to put it. The socialists are coming. Now, folks, understand the economy is getting tighter, financially getting tighter, and we see more and more people turning to the government for a bailout, as we have in this country for over 100 years. And when things get tight, we turn to Uncle Sam, hey, give us the UBI, give us this, give us that. And, of course, I just make us a slave to the system, but that's okay. We're well-fed and we're watching TV. The socialists are coming. Massive rally in New York City for Bernie Sanders. And, folks, it was a massive rally. Socialist Bernie Sanders drew a crowd on Saturday in New York. The city exceeded the crowd drawn by Elizabeth Warren last month in New York City's Washington Square Park. Warren's crowd in September was estimated at 20,000. Sanders, by the way, was estimated 30% higher, larger at 26,000. The Socialist Democratic Party Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was on hand to endorse Sanders. It wasn't until I heard a man by the name of Bernie Sanders that I began to question and assert and recognize my inherent values as a human being, AOC told the crowd. Notes Politico, Sanders' aides believe that Ocasio-Cortez's endorsement will not only excite his current voters, but also broaden his appeal among young voters, people of color, and women who are not yet behind him. She's expected to campaign for him soon in the first in the nation caucus state of Iowa. Bernie laid it on thick. He probably did better than Lennon back in his day. Bernie Sanders has turned out to be a force to be reckoned with. I don't know. We'll see. But it was quite a good sized rally. I did see that on TV, and he did draw a crowd. Now, along with the same field of thought, but anxious Democratic establishment ask, is there anyone else I mean, their question, who can we go to with the field we have? We don't have a chance, I don't think. When a half dozen Democratic donors gathered at the Whitby Hotel in Manhattan last week, the dinner began with a discussion of which presidential candidates the contributors liked. But as conversations among influential Democrats often go these days, the meetings quickly evolved into a discussion of who was not in the race, but who could be lured in. Would Hillary Clinton get in the contributors, but wonder? And how about Michael R. Bloomberg, the former New York City mayor? One person mused of whether Michelle Obama would consider a late entry. According to people who attended the event, which was hosted by the progressive group of American Bridge. So, Melly, they're not, the Democrats themselves are not too thrilled about who they have running. And Hillary herself has left the door open again to maybe run again. She's at Hillary Clinton's latest campaign stop in Oregon. Former First Lady again refused to endorse any of the current Democrats running in 2020 presidential primary, but she did highlight her experience with impeachment and essentially described herself as an ideal candidate to take on Trump in 2020. Clinton and daughter Chelsea were at Portland's Revolution Hall on Saturday to promote their new book about gutsy women when the moderator, local author Cheryl Strayed, brought up the 2020 KGB W8 reports. All that matters is that we win, Clinton told Strayed. I hate to be so, you know, simplistic about it. We have to nominate call for the best. You, someone shouted from the audience, drawing a big smile and laugh from Clinton. So I do believe she may get in a race. I could be wrong. I've been wrong more than once in my life. But it very well could be that she could get in a race. The candidates are starting to gain momentum. But some of the people that are supporting the Democrats are looking for alternatives. So you have any opinion on that?
You know, that might very well be. But you know what? If you look at the whole picture as they're all players in this game, it only strengthens the base of President Trump.
It does.
And his voters. So that means they want him in there. Hillary Clinton can't win. She won't win. But even President Trump had said, you know, made announcements that she's going to be running and everything like this. Well, it only strengthens him. It only gets everybody fired up. So, because everybody says, well, he's better than Hillary. So, I don't know if they're doing, throwing everything against the wall and see what sticks, doesn't stick. See, you know, to find the candidate that can beat Trump, or do they just truly want President Trump to stay in there? I don't know.
I do know that.
I don't know. You know, and I can't. I just don't. I don't even think the election would be the same as it was in 2016. You know, I don't think she would get the popular vote like she did. So
I really don't know, Mel. I don't know. I have thoughts in my head about this, as you do, but there's no way I can know for sure.
No,
there's no way. I just have to watch and see and
speculate. Yeah, it's just all possibilities.
It is. But I still believe in my heart, and I don't want this. God knows I don't want this. No matter who's elected after this election, if everything's still somewhat calm, after this election, it's going to be Katie barred the door. You saw last in 2016, you saw the people that was standing in the streets and screaming top of their lungs because Trump won and Hillary didn't. And I don't want to sound gross, but women flashing their private parts in the streets because it's upset whenever Trump won. What could this mean? I don't know, people, but the nation's going insane. And it's not going to be good. And if you don't prepare yourself right now, you got a year to do it, folks. A year's about over. Another year's election. If you don't prepare yourself with some food, a good water filter, even some guns and ammo, and some kind of a solid assets like Melody offers you, by the January, February of 2020 or 2021, all hell could break loose. And you may be on your own. And that's a fact. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But I don't think so.
Well, you know, today we had in Sochi, Russia and Turkey agreed on Tuesday, today, to ensure Kurdish forces withdraw from areas close to Syria's border with Turkey and to launch joint patrols in a deal hailed as historic by President Erdogan, Turkey's President Erdogan. After marathon talks in Russia's southern city of Sochi, Erdogan and his Russian counterpart, Putin, announced the deal just hours ahead of a deadline for Turkey to restart its assault on Syrian Kurdish forces. Now, this agreement cements Russia and Turkey's role as the main foreign players in Syria, and this announcement has cleared the way for Turkey to launch a cross-border offensive on October 9th against the Kurdish YPG militia. Let's see. We know that Turkey has seized control of a safe zone inside Syria, and this agreement today with Moscow will see it preserve that zone between the towns. From noon on Wednesday, Russian military police and Syrian border guards will facilitate the removal of Kurdish fighters and their weapons from within 30 kilometers, which is 18 miles of the border. And this withdrawal must be finalized within 150 hours. Now, this is according to a text of agreement released after the talks. Russian and Turkish forces will then begin joint patrols around the Turkish-controlled zone. And Putin said the decisions were very important, if not crucial, to allowing us to resolve the acute situation on the Syrian-Turkish border. In a phone call to the Russian leader, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad said in reference to the Kurds that those with separatist designs are responsible for what events have come to. But he did stress his complete refusal of any invasion of Syrian land under any name or pretext. Assad has said repeatedly that he would eventually restore government control over all parts of Syria. The story continues, Butch.
Yes, it does. It does, and I still wonder why Trump pulled out. I do not believe he did it to bring the troops home because that's the right thing to do. I don't believe that for a minute. There's more behind it than that. But back to Trump, though, again. As Halloween approaches, thousands of witches will cast a binding spell on Donald Trump on October 25th, which is, what, Thursday? Friday? I know that the headline will sound very strange to a lot of people, a lot of my readers, but this is actually happening. October 25th, 11:59 p.m., thousands of witches will simultaneously conduct a ritual which is meant to bind Donald Trump. And like a curse or a hex, it's a binding spell is not meant to cause harm. Rather, the witches hope to prevent President Trump from doing harm to the United States by his actions. And so they actually believe they are doing something very positive for the country. But a closer examination of this binding ritual reveals some very disturbing details. For example, those participating in that ritual are instructed to call on demons of the infernal realms for help in binding Trump. Well, I do know for a fact that there are witches out there, and then I do know that our enemy, the Satan, does have, we'll say, powers. What's this going to mean? I have no idea. Only time will tell. But Melody, go ahead.
Well, that tells us then on Friday we need to combat that with prayers, with our own prayers.
I totally agree. And ask our Father to override any powers that the Satan may have to destroy anything in this country, no matter what it is. Now, we haven't heard anything from Venezuela for a while, but this article I thought was important before we got off the air. Venezuelans buy gas with cigarettes to battle inflation. Now, folks, this is amazing. Caracas, Venezuela. Motorists and socialists of Venezuela have long enjoyed the world's cheapest gasoline, with fuel so heavily subsidized that a full tank these days costs a tiny fraction of a U.S. penny. Listen to that. But the economy is in such shambles that drivers are now paying for fill-ups with a little food, a candy bar, or just a cigarette. Bartering at the pump has taken off as hyperinflation makes Venezuela's paper currency, the bolivar, hard to find and renders some denominations all but worthless, so that nobody will accept them. Without cash in their wallets, drivers often hand gas station attendants a big bag of rice, cooking oil, or whatever is within reach. You can pay with a cigarette, said Orlando Molina, filling up his some compact Ford Kia in Caracas. Heck, it's no secret to anyone that it goes for nothing. Gas is so dirt cheap that the station attendants don't even know the price. Empty-handed drivers get way through paying nothing at all. The barter system, while perhaps the envy of cash-strapped drivers outside the country, is just another symptom of the bedlam in Venezuela. And folks, inflation is always the enemy of fiat currencies. It's the enemy of the economy. And America's fiat currency is going to, one day, hyperinflate and eventually be worth nothing. What are you going to barter? What are you going to have to barter with? Money with gold and silver coins, especially silver for small barters, make good sense to have behind to barter for some food or something one day? Would that make good sense?
Absolutely. And you know, something else about that article, and yes, I mean, gold and silver is good for barter because you have something that everybody else wants, and that's what bartering is all about. You better hope you have something that they want, and they have something that you need. And gold and silver is there to protect, you know, all your assets, your savings, your retirement accounts, your pension plans. But what I think is important about that article really isn't so much, there's a lot of folks who can't afford gold and silver. But you know what? There are things that you can store up that would help you
absolutely
to barter if you have to.
So
there's a prime example of that. So that was a very good article, Butch.
Alrighty. Well,
I think we're out of time. That was quick. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
No, you're welcome. See you later.